This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, so we're going to do some emails this Thursday. We're also going to talk about a little infighting with the Dems, which is glorious. In fact, we'll open up talking about that. We'll dig into some climate change propaganda briefly. Then we're going to check out of here until tomorrow, where we'll do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now, we are enjoying this, the post-election glow, if you will. We're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. You're enjoying it. And we are enjoying watching Democrats tear at each other. We should not make the mistake of convincing ourselves this is going to last forever. I do think they have some real structural problems on the left that are going to be very difficult to overcome. When I say structural problems, we're not talking about a little issue here or a little issue there. Hey, should we moderate a little bit on the board or something like that? I'm not discussing that. Those are talks that they can have and they will have. You've already seen Democrats like James Carville come out and say, hey, we got to tone down the woke insanity stuff. We got this defund the police stuff has to stop. So you've already seen those conversations. Those conversations they will have. But there are some religious things about them that I don't know that they'll be able to change. Remember, communism is a religion. You know, that's why I really don't like to use the word woke. I know I have used it before, and I know it's a very common word. But in my opinion, it's a really, really, it's way too nice sounding for what these people are. It kind of makes them sound like just kind of weird nutballs. It's a really evil religion they are part of. And parts of their religion, when it becomes a religion, I don't know that you can change that. Here's a good example. The church. Let's use the Christian church over the years, over the 2,000 year history of the Christian church. Sorry, Chris, you're gonna have to sit this one out. Over the 2,000 year history of the Christian church, there have been a million different arguments and remain a million different arguments about this or that, or what priests or pastors and the Protestants are fighting the Catholics, and what does this mean about the rapture, and how do you interpret this? Those are all very, 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 very normal things, and you can have an argument with people about those things, and you can even come around to someone's view on the argument of the things. Okay, I guess we can interpret that differently. But for the Christian church, you try to argue with the Christian that Jesus was not the Son of God. Well, no. That we don't have to have that argument anymore. That's the bedrock of my belief system. So, no. Now, stay with me. Let's take that over to the Democrat Party. The super, super hardcores, which have really taken over that party, they have religious beliefs ingrained into them that are just like that belief in Jesus I just talked about as far as what it means for them. And one of the main ones, in fact, so much of their evil communist religion revolves around this, is this mentality of oppressors and oppressed. People are divided into two categories. They are either friends or enemies. They are either oppressors or oppressed. And of course, you know how this manifests itself in cultural Marxism, where if you're an American Christian white male, it doesn't matter how much time you spend doing this or money you give doing that. You are, by your very identity, you are an oppressor. You're an oppressor. You oppress other people. And if you are something else, some black lesbian tranny Eskimo or something, if you are that, then no matter what, you are oppressed. It's a bedrock religion. It's part of their religion, and I'm not sure how you get that out of them. But they are going to be ripping at each other as a party. This is from Red State. Infighting escalates and rumors swirl at Kamala HQ as the bills come due. The Harris campaign is $20 million in debt. And I only wanted to bring this up, not to rub their noses in it, although I'm totally fine with that too. That's fun. I wanted to bring this up because could you imagine if that woman had won the presidency? Think about her campaign. And the reason they're $20 million in debt is every part of it was fake, remember? Remember they would shut down diners? We started to get word in Pittsburgh, they shut down a diner and they sent all the customers home and they brought in essentially a bunch of actors, a bunch of actresses. Oh, Dome, you're my favorite. Will you be my president? You know that they were faking rallies? Remember when they faked the picture? It was a small thing. We talked about it one night on the radio. It sounds small, but it tells you how what a complete facade the entire campaign was. They had a picture, they put it up online, of Dome getting off of Air Force Two, getting off this jet. And there was a picture taken. You could see you were behind the crowd, looking over the crowd, and you're looking at the jet. You're looking at Dome getting off the jet. Well, the internet being what it is, people started digging into the picture. And you see the jet itself had a reflection on it. And they photoshopped in the crowd. The crowd wasn't actually there. There was no one there. Dome was there. They photoshopped in the crowd. They forgot to photoshop the crowd into the reflection off the jet. And the internet found out the entire campaign was a facade. Every time you'd turn around and it'd be Beyonce or someone like that showing up at a rally, Oprah, we know now they were all paid. They were just shelling out millions of dollars here and there. Somebody that broken and lost. Imagine what her presidency would have meant for this country. You want to? It's more than just Donald Trump who dodged a bullet. We all dodged a freaking bullet. I'll tell you that. And again, back to the. Whether they can change. Remember I told you about that Massachusetts Democrat, Seth Moulton? Seth Moulton is a Democrat. He's a Democrat rep in Massachusetts. He said, hey, he doesn't want his daughters getting run over by a dude in sports. That's all he said, which is the most basic, sane thing in the world. It's not even, it shouldn't even be kind of a Democrat or Republican position. That's just kind of a normal human being position. I'd really like it if a dude didn't beat up my daughter. He takes this very basic position. Listen to this. Massachusetts Democrat threatens to oust Seth Moulton over trans athlete remark. There are Democrats who know they have to have these reforms. They have to dial back the crazy. They took it too far. They turned off the blue-collar people. It's become the party of Ivy Tower elites and a bunch of pink-haired freaks, and nobody else in between is allowed. That's what they've become. And the smart ones understand, hey, guys, we can't embrace things like the tranny nonsense. Remember, I told you that they did that study. One of the most effective ads the Trump campaign ran was about tranny stuff. It was playing Dome's words about providing, you know, sex change operations to dudes in prisons. And I saw it here in Texas and I thought, wow, that's kind of bold. I can't believe they're running with the cultural issue. They ran that ad. It was over $100 million they put into that ad because it was so effective. People saw that and thought, oh, gosh, gross. Democrats know that's a loser of an issue, and yet it's part of their religion. It's part of their religion. I don't know if they can change it. Dear Jesse, first thing that went through my mind when Trump won was how instrumental you were in all this. You were relentless in letting us know we should get involved. Thanks for that, so on and so forth. You did it. I appreciate that. You put in the work. Oracle, I don't know how you get anything done with your huge hands. It seems a bit unwieldy and impractical. I like this woman. Do you think Dome is secretly relieved that she lost? less pressure, less hate, less imposter syndrome. She doesn't have the next 4 years committed to absolute misery. What are your thoughts? Her name is Autumn. Well, Autumn. It's very interesting because I was actually thinking about this last night. I was walking around the house. Everyone had gone to bed, and I was kind of had this restless. I was just restless, so I was pacing around the kitchen, and I thought to myself, I wonder if Dome is in the kitchen right now snacking out and happy as a clam, or maybe she's on her third bottle and just miserable. Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about real estate. Done-for-you real estate. You see, it's time to start investing in real estate. Real estate's about to get even better if we start getting these illegals out of the country, and it looks like we're going to. Don't you want to be in on that? Don't you want to buy something tangible, something you can touch and feel? Recession may come no matter what. Then no matter what, that house remains. Done For You Real Estate finds you the best markets, the best properties. They vet everything. They handle the financing. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. They get you involved in real estate investing. Go see what they can do for normal people like you. Go to doneforyoujesse.com to learn more. Doneforyoujesse.com. How's Dome handling all this? Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Getting ready to psychologize Dome after a loss. Before we do that, I want to remind you, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so somebody asked, do I think Dome is relieved she lost? Yes and no. Here's what I believe, and I'm going to lay this out for you. And it's a complete theory. I tell you when I know things, and I tell you when it's a theory. So this is a theory from what I have observed and from studying people for my 43 years on this planet. This is what I think. This is what I assume about Dome. I bet you her relationship with her parents is not that great. And when I say not that great, this is what I mean. Parental relationships, even when you have both your parents, they can get unhealthy sometimes. Have you ever known someone, or maybe this is you, maybe this was your upbringing. We'll make it about your father because it's usually dads that do this. But have you ever had an upbringing where the dad really only seemed to show love and only seemed to care when there was some sort of a tangible accomplishment? You know, you had to score a touchdown in football in order to get a hug and an attaboy from your dad. You had to get straight A's in order to get a hug and an attaboy from your dad. Your dad only started caring about your career when you started making at least $50,000 a year in salary. You at least know of those kinds of relationships. I've known people like that in my life. And what oftentimes happens to the kid is, as they grow older, they become some of the most ruthlessly ambitious people, people willing to screw over everyone around them because achievement in something is how they got love in their life. That's how they always related. I will get love. I will get adoration as long as I get the next job, the next promotion, the next touchdown. So as they grow up, that kind of unease stays with them where they don't feel like they're loved. They don't feel worth it unless they're climbing that ladder. You have to climb the ladder at all times. Otherwise, you're worth it. I bet you money Kamala Harris grew up in that kind of home. I bet you did. Because it explains so much else. It explains why she would begin a career. We've made a bunch of jokes about Dome on the show. Her nickname itself is a joke about how she began her career with a relationship with Willie Brown. But jokes aside, why would you do that? what would bring a woman to do that? And it was public. It's not like it was, look, people do things in private all the time that are bad, right? You've done it, I've done it. People do things privately that are bad. I'm going to sneak a drink here. But when you broadcast it publicly, she went public with it, pictures and things like that. Look at me, I'm his arm candy. Why would you do that? How could you do that and be okay with that? Well, that was how you climbed the ladder. And it was always ladder climbing. It was AG. It was Senate. It was vice president. It was this. It was that. I bet you money, now that the presidential campaign is over, I bet you she is equal parts the happiest she has been in her entire life and also completely lost. Because she has to know. Now, she's a moron, so maybe she doesn't, but I would assume she has to know she's not going to be able to run again. If she does run again in a Democrat primary, she's not going to have any success. And I don't know if she has anyone around her who will tell her that, but if she can read, poll numbers, she would know that. This was, for the person who believes she has to climb the ladder for love, this was her one and only shot at the presidency. It was the only chance she was ever going to be the nominee, because even Democrats don't like her. They handed her the nomination and handed her $1 billion, and she lost. There will never be a part two. They will never get people, these billionaire commie donors, to invest massively in her to make a presidential run. She may go back and try to run for governor of California or something like that. She probably will. But the mountaintop for a politician is not governor of California. As great and huge and big and powerful as the governor of California is, the mountaintop for a politician is president. The second you start running for office, your mom's going to call and she's not going to say, maybe you can be governor one day. She's going to say, I bet you can be president one day. My mom said it to me when I was running for Congress. That's the mountaintop. And now the mountaintop for her is no longer an option. So how would you feel if you tried to climb Mount Everest and it was miserable the whole time and you hated it and you were cold and you were tired and it was hard and you got hurt and it was awful and all you wanted to do was get to the top of Mount Everest and you got close and then you had to turn around. And after you turned around, you looked back at the top of Mount Everest and you knew this was your one and only shot. You'll never make it to the top. You are equal parts relieved that the pain and the misery and the cold and the suffering is over. At the same time, you'll probably carry that bitter disappointment with you the rest of your life. And if I had to guess, that was an entire segment of me amateur psychologizing Dome. If I had to guess, I bet you that's exactly what's going on with her. All right, let's talk about the media. Things aren't going very well over there. Let's talk about Pure Talk first. You know, one of the reasons things aren't going very well with the media is because people are putting their money where their morals are, with their watch habits, with their dollars, with where they spend dollars on advertisers. Part of the reason there's all these layoffs, they're selling MSNBC, this newspaper, that newspaper, is people are done supporting companies who hate them. That's what switching to Pure Talk is about. It's about stopping supporting these companies who hate you, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and it's about putting your money where your morals are, with a company that likes you in your morals. Switch to Pure Talk. They care about veterans. Their CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans. And you don't have to sacrifice a thing. Same 5G network. You keep your phone. You save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes, and do just sit back and enjoy all the most despicable people on the planet freaking out about all these Donald Trump appointments.
What are the implications of having Matt Gaetz as Attorney General?
There's so many things that kind of jump out to you when you hear that the prospect of that nomination. But I think the first thing that really impresses me is what it says about Donald Trump's intention for the Justice Department and the FBI. Now, Matt Gaetz is obviously wholly unqualified for this job. He's someone who, I mean, quite frankly, couldn't get hired by the FBI if he had ever been interested in that, which I'm sure he never was. Probably couldn't qualify for a clearance.
Oh, it's glorious. Legacy Media newspaper replaces editorial board over voter disconnect. That would be the Los Angeles Times, one of the biggest newspapers in the country. Remember right before the election when the Washington Post, the most disgusting, crazy commie rag in the country, when they came out and said, hey, we're not endorsing anyone for president. They never do that. They endorse the Democrat every time. And just in the past 48 hours or so, we've gotten word that MSNBC is for sale, that CNN is looking to fire a bunch of top talent. We found out The View, those commie hags we play from time to time, they are looking for more, quote, pro-Trump voices. The LA Times, they're firing their editorial board, trying to figure out who's who and what's what. This goes back to what we've been discussing all week long. The system, it is feeling our rejection, and it is a good thing. They are petrified. They feel rejected outright by the people themselves. And now what they're doing, don't kid yourself. They're not regrouping to try to change their ways. They're not moderating. They're not getting more down the middle. What they're doing is rebranding. They will come back. They will be just as evil. Their plans will be exactly the same as they were before. But here's what happened. The system told you for 10 years that Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler and the Antichrist. You heard it over and over and over and over and over again. Threat to democracy, Donald Trump, Hitler, Donald Trump, Nazi, Donald Trump, over and over and over again. And then Donald Trump just slaughters. We just slaughtered everybody on Election Day in every single county. Well, that says a lot of things, but one of the main things it says, and there have been a bunch of media people who have echoed this, one of the main things it says is the media has lost its power. Because what does it mean if you can point to the public? Every Democrat and every media member points to the public and says, he's Hitler, he's Hitler, he's Hitler, he's Hitler. And then the voter goes out and says, oh, I'm voting for that guy. What it means is they don't care what you say. They've tuned you out. And there's nothing worse. Nothing worse. If you're in the media business, if you're whatever you do, what I do, I'm in radio and yeah, I'm in TV too. I have a TV show, but radio, TV, Hollywood, it doesn't matter. You can be wrong. You can be controversial. You can be a lot of things. But what you cannot be is somebody no one wants to listen to anymore. If people change the channel, if they turn it off, that's death for you. It's not the hate. Not the hate. People get hate all the time. And the better your show is, the more popular your show is, the more hatred you'll get. A lot of American communists, like the ones who complain about this show all the time. They're always calling corporate and emailing corporate and firing him and he's a racist and all these other stupid things. Well, do you know that corporate laughs at these. Like, we all get together and we laugh at you. If you're one of the communists who does that, you actually, your voice, that voicemail you left for corporate, it's been played in a room full of people, and we mocked your stupid voice and we laughed at your stupidity. Did you know that? Why? Well, the more complaints I get, the more they know the show is getting bigger. It's a way you can track the show. They're not mad. They're happy. They'd be worried if I didn't have any. If I didn't have any, they'd start to get concerned. Oh, my gosh. Did people start to turn it off? But the American communist, he got so used to, over the years, he got so used to being offended and having that be currency, or pretending at least to be offended and having that be currency, that he, the street animals too, it's not just the elites and the media, the street animals, they are having a hard time adjusting to this new society where people are tuning it out and turning it off, and they don't care. It's wonderful. I love it. Pink Flower, I'm happy to say two anti-communists were up for school board in my South Carolina town, and won. It was close, but we are winning local. That, gosh, I love you guys. That is how we take the country back. Jesse, I deliver for DoorDash and Amazon, and I spend hours driving around in my car every single day. I stumbled upon your voice talking on the radio one night 2 years ago, and I was actually pleasantly surprised as to what you were saying. Somebody finally speaking the truth. Somebody finally standing up for what I believe in and openly talking about it on public radio. I've been a loyal listener ever since, and I want to look forward to the 4 o'clock hour during the week when you come on Freedom 93.7 in Denver. That's a great station. I just want to say thank you for all your hard work, all you do. I do believe we won this election because of all the people out there putting in God's work, and it has paid off. This election belongs to you. Remember, it belongs to every single person who got off the couch and did something. It does not belong to me. I didn't win the election. I didn't change the country. You did. If you did anything. Jesse, I couldn't do much. All I could do was I took my neighbor in. He wasn't going to vote, but I took my neighbor in. That's everything. Expand that out. Think about how close presidential elections are. Even this one, which was kind of a beating. If you look at the numbers, it's not that many numbers. It's not that many people who decide presidential elections. If everybody just brought one person, Democrats never win another election. Ever. And we're starting to see that. I love it. King of the Sour Patch Kids. I drove my friend to register and vote for her first time. She's 75 years old, extremely proud of herself, as am I. Small wins are big wins. Her name is Rachel, and her friend's name is Gloria. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Dear Great Oracle, we've been longtime listeners of your show. Tonight, we decided to tune into the tube to watch your show for the first time. My husband and I have seen your handsome face before, but all three of our daughters were surprised at how hairless you are. That's not very nice. Must be the buzz cut. Say hi to Chris. Her name is Rachel. You know, losing your hair, it's only for the bravest, really. What, Chris, stay with me here. You ever heard that saying, God doesn't give us anything we can't handle, right? The reason Chris, see, Jewish producer Chris, he has this huge, really gross mop of hair. It's disgusting. It almost looks like some kind. Shut up, Chris. I'm between barbers, he says. You know what, Chris? Bring me some scissors. I'll get you tightened right up. Happy to. Chris, I'm happy to help. Why won't you let me help? Anyway, Chris has this really unsightly head of hair. It's all over the place. And you know why Chris has that? Whereas me, if you're watching on the simulcast, you see these? This is called a widow's peak right here. This hair that's way back here, like on ear level, it used to be way up here. It's almost like I had a whole head of hair. So it's retreating, right? And so maybe you're sitting there thinking, wow, that's too bad. He's going bald. God knows I'm strong enough to handle it. He knows Chris is too weak. That's why he still has his hair. Just something to keep in mind. We have one more segment. We'll make fun of some greenie losers, and then we'll read some emails, and then we'll check out of here until Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's save a little life real quick. It is a life. I had the displeasure today of looking at one of those ultrasound type videos of an abortion procedure. And it probably one of those things that's going to still be with me when I go to sleep at night. This is a barbaric, demonic practice we have to stop. We shouldn't back down. We shouldn't back off. We should speak boldly out against it, and we should try to save that baby's life by giving that mother a free ultrasound before she gets to the abortion clinic. That's what preborn does. They find that mother, and they give her a free ultrasound. Cost them $28. $28 buys a life tonight. Preborn saves 200 lives a day because of what you do. And it's tax deductible. You get to freaking deduct it on your taxes. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And we have Ask Dr. Jesse Friday coming tomorrow, and I'm really excited about it. So get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to do some emails. And also, one last word on the hair thing. Do you want to have T levels so high that your hair falls out and you're fine with it? You need to get a male vitality stack, for Pete's sake. Gentlemen, you don't need to feel down all the time. I'm depressed. I know, your T levels are low. You don't need to be low energy. You're losing focus. You need to get a hold of Chuck. And ladies, you too. Christmas season is here. In the Kelly household, it's been here for 2 weeks, but we're not going to go into that right now. Christmas season is here, and Chuck has a Black Friday special the entire month of November. So go get a subscription. CHOQ.com. Natural herbal supplements. Live it up. Promo code Jesse. They give you a $50 bonus product in your first delivery because it's Black Friday special. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. Jesse, every weekend I open my social media and there's multiple clips of J.D. Vance clubbing the communist apparatchiks on TV. You would think they would learn and they would stop interviewing him. Okay, so J.D. Vance... I remember when Trump was thinking about VPs, various VPs, and they were talking about this person or that person. And I said, I don't want it to be J.D. Vance because he's my favorite. He's my favorite, and I like him so much, I wanted him to stay as an ally in the Senate. Now, I don't know that I was necessarily wrong about that, but J.D. Vance was awesome on the campaign trail. And it turned out of all four candidates, Trump, Dome, Walls, and Vance, Vance is the only candidate, did you know this, who finished the presidential race with a net positive favorability. J.D. Vance, the public got to know him, and the public fell in love with him. So we can assume that he helped Donald Trump, which is everything you want out of your VP. Mostly it's do no harm, but you want a little boost from them in some way. Back to what I had said before, I am still very concerned over that Senate seat in Ohio because we don't have many good senators. That's the problem. We just don't have very many. The Senate is just packed full of GOP losers. Here's Exhibit A, John Cornyn.
On the issue of vetting, though, how critical is it to have access to what the House Ethics Committee has found in their investigation?
I think there should not be any limitation on the Senate Judiciary Committee's investigation, including whatever the House Ethics Committee has generated.
So you want to see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we definitely should see it. I want to make sure that we're doing everything. Are there ethics problems? I don't know. I'm very concerned. We're in the Senate. We need to do things the right way. We don't have many J.D. Vances there. Now, I realize what everyone is saying right now and what everyone is thinking. They're thinking, wow, we'll get 4 years of Trump and then J.D. Vance will take over for 8 years. Okay. Listen, I like J.D., as I just said. I liked him so much, I didn't want him to get picked. That's how much I like J.D. And I know people who know him personally. I do not know him personally. But I know people who do. And they tell me he is as genuine as you could possibly imagine. A real solid person. We did good there. But be careful in politics, assuming that the shine lasts forever, because it never does, ever. The shine doesn't laugh. I that's right, Chris. I call it the Chris Christie rule. Everyone laughs about Chris Christie now because he's worthless in a punchline. Chris Christie's a joke now. Doesn't matter what circles you ask, Chris Christie's laughed at and sneered at. So you have to have been in politics for a while to remember what I'm about to say, but what I'm about to say is 100% true. There was a time in Republican circles where Chris Christie was the biggest star we had by a mile. Chris Christie being openly drafted for president from virtually every circle in the Republican Party. If you're too new to politics, you'll be laughing at the radio right now. Yeah, right. That's so stupid. Oh, I was there. I remember Chris Christie's first term as governor of New Jersey and how everybody was falling all over themselves to make him the next presidential nominee and whisk him right into the White House. But time in politics has a way of getting that shine off. It's not that I want bad things to happen to JD, and it's not that I'm predicting they will happen to JD, but 4 years is a long time from now. And that primary, once Trump is done, you know Vivek's going to be there. You think he's doing all this for funsies? JD will be there. You know somebody like DeSantis will probably run again. I could see Ted Cruz running again. Who else am I not thinking of, fellas? There's someone else who's definitely going to be ambitious enough to run again. There are going to be people, and there are going to be people I can't think of right now, who are going to decide to throw their hat in and run again. It's just kind of how it goes.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Climate change is Americans' biggest concern for their children, not the economy, a new survey reveals. And I want to make sure I give credit to Joy Pullum for the reporting on this. If you look into the article, you know who commissioned this survey? Electric vehicle maker Rivian. Electric vehicle maker Rivian, who had a terrible quarter because people aren't buying electric vehicles. Remember, all you communist street animals who believe in man-made climate change, you're just getting suckered for money. They're just using you. It's all about money. Report, Iran postpones third attack on Israel in hope of a deal with Trump. Trump is bringing about world peace before he ever hits office. It's amazing. Trump administration to create massive deportation prisons in Dems' own backyards. Gosh, they're talking about likely centers being Denver, Los Angeles, Miami, Chicago, and so on. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so wildly entertaining watching the left freak out about this. I can already picture, Chris, write this down. You already know the photo ops of the detention centers are coming. This is like Auschwitz, just like they did last time. Remember they compared them to concentration camps? Bunch of freaks. Cruise company offered TDS sufferers a 4-year trip to avoid Trump's second term. 4 years on a cruise? It says you could visit 140 countries? You know, I think what, Chris? I think that would be fun. You would need a lot of money, that's for sure. And I would be concerned about the food options more than anything else. I realize cruises have a lot of food options, but I don't think there's 4 years of food options. You get bored with the food options in your area at any given moment. Whatever. Bring on a hot plate and some Kraft Mac. Anyway, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and that's going to be a real good time, and I will see you then. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.